Amen. Thank you, Kessie. You can open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4 this morning. I've entitled this sermon, Grace versus Law. And we're going to begin in verse 21. It's also in your notes, by the way. Paul says in verse 21, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? Do you not listen to what it says? For it is written that Abraham had..." And by the way, if you spend much time in the Old Testament, you can't even fathom being under the law, having to perfectly obey every inch of God's law is so overwhelming that none of us can get there. None of us can get there on our own, okay? So Paul says, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? Have you not read it? Have you not heard what it says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, the slave woman, and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh." In other words, he was born according to man's will and man's abilities. "Yet the son by the free woman was born through the promise, born according to God's way and God's ability. But brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman." Now, this is a very difficult passage to understand. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to jumpstart us real quick with a quote from Tony Evans' commentary. Dr. Evans says, "It was clear to Paul that many of the Galatians had been deceived, and they desired now to be under the law," verse 21. "So he wanted to make sure that they understood what the law was all about. And so Paul uses two sons of Abraham and their mothers to make his appeal. Ishmael was born to Hagar, the slave, Sarah's, as you know, maidservant. And Isaac was born to Sarah, the free woman," verse 22. "Though Ishmael was born by natural means, Isaac was born through supernatural intervention to a woman past, way past, by the way, childbearing years, as a result of God's promise." Verse 23. So again, Paul's main concern is that the Galatians were being deceived into placing themselves back under the slavery of the law, even though they had been saved and been set free by believing in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. You see, the Judaizers, these false teachers, were convincing the Galatians that they needed to add following the law like the Jews do to the grace of God for salvation. Now, you and I know that doesn't work, right? Grace and works go together like oil and water. The Bible says, clearly states in Romans 11, 6, "If by grace it is no longer works, lest by works, lest grace is no longer grace." And so Paul is concerned that the Judaizers are getting to them and convincing them to somehow take these works of following the law and adding it to grace, God's grace for salvation. Put another way, they needed to add their performance to the performance of Jesus Christ to truly be saved. That's what these Judaizers were teaching. Look back at verse 21. "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" And this leads us to point number one, which is very important to understand this morning in this passage. Paul is not referring here to obeying the law in this passage, but he's referring to relying on the law to be justified before God. Here's what it means to be under the law. It means to be enslaved to God's perfect law, which requires your perfect obedience for salvation and sanctification. One commentator says, "There are many such today. They are not Judaizers to whom Paul was writing, but they are people whose religion is legalistic, who, listen to this, don't miss this, who imagine that the way to God is by the observance of certain rules. Those people are legalistic. Now, I want you to listen to this humble testimony I received just this last week from a lady in our church. Chris, I'm learning so much from your sermons on legalism. Thanks for teaching me what the Bible says. I grew up in that kind of church, and it has taken me time to see how legalistic I am and I was. God is using you to help me understand, repent, and grow. Thank you, Chris. And then when I asked permission to share this with you, Cherie replied, and I asked permission to share it anonymously, but this was her reply. Of course you can. I don't care if everyone knows. I am growing, and it feels so freeing. Amen? I mean, what a great testimony, amen? To humbly say, I don't care if everybody in my church knows. Let them know. God's doing a miracle in my life. I'm growing, and it's freeing me up. Cherie, thank you. And you see, that's what happens when we replace rule following with God's grace. It's the God that sets you and I free. Amen? Yet, that does not mean that we no longer obey God's word. People who use grace as a license to sin have grossly abused God's grace. But people, listen to this, people who delight in obeying God's word, those are the ones who have truly come to experience and appreciate God's grace. Amen? You see, it's God's grace that gives you the desire, the Bible teaches, and the power, the Bible teaches, to live for God and walk in his ways. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 1 through 3, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk. And we know that our way is blameless because we believed in Jesus Christ. Amen? We believed in what he's done on our behalf, not by what we have or haven't done. Amen? And so how blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all of their heart. So it's always good to obey God's word as long as we're not doing it to be okay with God. As long as we're not doing it to gain acceptance with God. Acceptance and justification. Our acceptance and our justification with God come only through our faith, his grace, and our faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Yet with obedience to God's word comes untold blessings from the Lord. Allow me to just name a few, and there are hundreds. I'm just going to name a few for you this morning. When we know God and live in harmony with his purpose for our lives, it brings peace into our lives, Romans 8:6. It brings confidence into our lives, Romans 8:31. It brings fulfillment to our lives, Philippians 4:19. And last but not least, it brings freedom. What we're all looking for, freedom, amen? John 8:32 and 36. But there's a big difference, listen to this. There's a big difference between obeying God's law driven by a thankful heart for the unconditional love and acceptance of God based on their performance of Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between that and relying on our own personal performance, our own personal obedience to the law to try and gain the love and acceptance of God. And so in this passage, Paul is trying to use an Old Testament illustration to show the Galatians that there are two ways of being an ancestor of Abraham or being accepted by God. One is man's way, he says, which leads to slavery, and one is God's way, which leads to freedom. And he illustrates this through Abraham's wife, Sarah, and her maidservant Hagar, and the two sons Ishmael and Isaac. Look at verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by Sarah's maidservant, and one by the free woman, Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. Now, back in Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that he would provide an heir for him who would possess the land that the Lord would show him. But Abraham was an old man, married to an old woman, Sarah, who had been barren her entire life. So listen to this. Don't miss this. Instead of waiting for God's timing and trusting in the Lord to fulfill his promise, they decided they needed to help God along. They needed to help God along and hurry things up. You ever do that? Sure you do, and so do I. And so Sarah gave Abraham permission. She's helping God along right here in her mind. She gave Abraham permission to sleep with her maidservant, Hagar. And that way they could start this family through Hagar. Genesis 16. Therefore, Ishmael was born by the slave woman, her maidservant Hagar, and this would create a great rift between the two women. And if you're a woman, I don't have to explain to you why. Amen? This would create a great rift between the two women and their sons and all their descendants for a long, long time. We still see it today. Because when man can't wait for God's perfect timing, done according to God's perfect will, something disastrous always takes place. Something we never wanted always takes place. And Ishmael, born according to man's timing and man's will, would become the traditional father of the Arab people. And the people of Ishmael would forever become the enemies of Isaac's people, the Jews. One author writes, "Why do we not see that it's always best to do things God's way? We cause some of the wreck and ruin in our lives and in our churches because we have a plan. And then we implement the plan and accomplish," listen to this, "only what we can do." I submit to you today that the people in this nation are tired of watching what man can do. I submit to you today that people are starving to see what God can do. Starving to see a people that follow him and trust in him. Trust in his plan, that are willing to wait on him so that they can see something only God can do. This author goes on to say, God is not glorified by making our plans succeed. You ever prayed and asked God to help your plans succeed? And you wonder why it doesn't get answered? God is not glorified by making your plans succeed. He is glorified when his plans are done in his way and in his timing. And in God's perfect timing, years later, some 14 years later, some 14 years after Ishmael was born to Hagar, when Abraham now is 100 years old and Sarah now is 90 years old, the Lord would bless Sarah, the free woman, just as he had promised. Put another way, God, by his grace, would miraculously provide a son for Abraham and Sarah. And whenever God initiates his grace, then he is providing for mankind in a way that could never take place without his divine intervention, and that's why we call it a miracle. Look at Genesis 21 in your notes. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, Abraham's wife, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah just as he had promised. Notice the Lord did for Sarah. Not Abraham. The Lord did for Sarah just as he had promised. God provided grace for a 90-year-old woman who had never had children on her own. Verse 2. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken. At God's appointed time of which he had spoken to Abraham. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Point number two. Number one, it's important to remember that God's not referring to obeying the law in this passage, Paul, but relying on the law to be justified with God. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive to him. Why? Because we are keeping his commandments, and we are doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. And if you know God's grace and you've received God's grace and you're living in it, those things are not burdensome for you. They are a delight. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, the Bible says. Put another way, listen, that's how you know you have the love of God in you. You delight in keeping his commandments. They're not burdensome to you if you have the love of God in you. If you've experienced the grace of God. And that's how you know, because you enjoy doing what is pleasing. And then point number two. There are two ways that mankind relates to God. One is man's way, rule-keeping, that leads to slavery. And the other is God's way, God's Savior Jesus Christ, that leads to freedom. Write that in your notes this morning. There are two ways mankind relates to God. One is man's way, which is rule-keeping, that leads to slavery, and the other is God's way through God's Son and Savior Jesus Christ that leads to freedom. Look back at verse 23. But the son of the slave woman, Hagar, was born according to the flesh. In other words, by the abilities of man and in the timing of man. They were hurrying things along for God to help God out. While the son of the free woman, Sarah, was born through the promise, God's way, and in God's timing. Now, the Jews consider themselves both children and heirs of Abraham, but by choosing to sleep with Hagar, Abraham chose to trust in his own fleshly way to fulfill God's promise, instead of having the faith that God would provide in a miraculous way for his people. And Paul argues, just like Jesus did, that point number three, this leads us to point number three, that the way to freedom is not for those who are physically related to Abraham, but those who are spiritually related to Abraham by God's grace through faith in Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus told the Jews in John 8:31 through 34 in your notes. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You are truly followers of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now, the Jews in Paul's day and in Christ's day attributed their right standing before God by being a physical descendant of Abraham. And many Christians do the exact same thing today. They attribute their right standing before God by being physically born into a Christian family. But God's word is clear that a person is not born into God's family by the works of a man. a person becomes a Christian or a Christ follower and a family member of God's family because he or she has been born again, John chapter 3, spiritually speaking, by the work of the Holy Spirit who frees them from the slavery of sin. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said to him, speaking of Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Jesus said to him, or excuse me, Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, the physical birth, and the Spirit, speaking of the spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And so Ishmael was born according to the flesh, by the will of man and by the working of man, to the slave woman, which did not require the grace of God at all. But Isaac was born according to the grace of God and the timing of God through the promise of God, verse 23. And so Paul uses this illustration to point out this contrast between those who are born under the slavery of sin and the law, illustrated by the slave woman Hagar and her son Ishmael, who was born according to the flesh. And so he uses this to contrast between those who are born under the slavery of sin and the law and those who are reborn spiritually free, illustrated by the free woman Sarah and her son Isaac, who were born according to the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. And so this contrast between being born under the slavery of sin and the law and being reborn, being set spiritually free through the promise of Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. And so Paul reminds these Galatians, "But the Son, by the bondwoman, was born according to the flesh." He was born man's way. "And the Son, by the free woman, was born through the promise, born through God's way. But brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman." So here's the good news for us. When we believe in God's grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, as our Lord and Savior, we then become the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And we are born again into God's family, and we become heirs of all of God's blessings for eternity. Will you join me in prayer this morning?